In this episode of COL Movies, the boys celebrate the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell by watching the always questionable Jake Gyllenhaal and Jarhead. They head to the theater to check out the remake of the 1971 Dustin Hoffman film Straw Dogs. Does moving the setting from England to Mississippi, including the appropriate accents, make the film any better? Looking into the future, they review the trailer for Battleship, based on the Milton Bradley game that most of us will remember. Will critics and audiences sink this Battleship before it arrives in 2012? The guys also bring up the most recent Netflix and Quixtar news and discuss the possibility of a sequel to Wanted. It's the 72nd reel of COL Movies. Are these warm nuts?
The past.
You tell me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
The present.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
The future.
Hi. Welcome to the future.
And I'm telling you, it's great here.
You're listening to COL Movies.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to COL Movies. My name is Jeff, and I would like to introduce my macho co-hosts, Ray and Steve. How are you guys doing? Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah!
Is that good?
That sounded kind of like Jabba the Hutt.
Okay.
Don't make me start speaking Hutties.
Oh, Lord. No. To do the whole the show in Hutt.
Let's go into the news.
News on the mark!
In the news, a Netflix Quixtar follow-up.
Yeah, a.k.a. how to fire your CEO. not fired yet, but oh, my God. They are just tanking. So I'm assuming everybody got the, you know, everybody's familiar with the current hilarity that is the Netflix Quixtar, whatever you want to call it.
But last week.
Yeah. Yep. So they're just like their stock is lost. I think it's 57% less in value, and they've lost a total of $9 billion in market value since July. So I know we talked a little bit about maybe this was a ploy so that Amazon or Google could swoop in. Well, those rumors are just flying all over the place right now. Now it's like, are they really going to swoop in and take over? Or are they just going to kind of hold back for a little while and let it really drop? Let them really get low before they swoop in and grab them. The thing that I think is funny is that I have heard speculation too that another company would be in a sort of interesting position to swoop in, which would be Apple. Although I don't really think that it's part of their corporate sort of vision, a way things they work with them, but they do have a brand new boss. So who knows? Maybe Mr. Cook is eyeing the Quixtar and the Netflix.
I don't think so. I can't see.
Oh, I agree. I don't see it happening.
But Apple doing anything with streaming. All their stuff is about, sure, we'll sync things, we'll allow downloads, but everything ends up being on the device when you're watching it. And it's all being on the device and none of this streaming nonsense.
Yeah, but they don't put movies on Apple TV anymore. They just stream it.
Yeah, but you're streaming it from a device.
No, or streaming it right off the internet. You don't have to have a device.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't realize it. I thought you had to have it down on the device or something.
No.
Or maybe they do the whole download stream thing, like watch while it's downloading type thing, and then it's temporarily downloaded.
There's no storage on Apple TV whatsoever, so it's just playing it back. It's a little box that's playing connected to the internet. So they do have streaming in their DNA somewhat. And it would give them access to Netflix's library, as small as it is on streaming sometimes. But I don't know. Just interesting follow-up. You know, it's a little light on the news this week. So
Amazon taking it over is very possible. Plausible. Google, meh. Well, Google all does... they would really do is put Netflix into YouTube or something.
Well, don't they have a sort of movie streaming thing on
It's
YouTube?
A rental thing, kind of like Amazon. It's right. It's mostly a rental. Right. Like there's an you can't you have to pay per play. Amazon does have some free streaming if you subscribe to Prime, but that library is minuscule.
Right.
But they have more movies available for streaming pay for play.
Right. So,
I think that what this would do would be if they took up Netflix, that it would allow them to have basically they would have the deals in place at that point in time. And they might, like they did with Audible, still keep it as a separate company and basically roll everything involving their streaming over into Netflix and right. not have to worry. And then whenever you find a item on there, there'll be more integrated into Netflix with a little button that says watch on Netflix or something like that.
Well, it would work for them too, where they could go both ways and say, hey, if you like streaming this movie and you want to buy it, hey, just click on this button and we'll ship it to you, you know, with your account that's linked through Amazon, mm-hmm. you know, presto changeo.
Yeah. So they could have this lot more integrations. Like you watch this movie on Netflix. Did you like it? Buy it, get it in higher quality on Blu-ray and purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they would not have the Quickster.
Right.
So there wouldn't be there would still be that disconnect between the two businesses. But and I could see they basically roll Netflix into the Amazon Prime subscription. You could have either the movie subscription for $7.99, or you have if you go with Prime, you get all the benefits of Prime plus all this entire catalog of streaming movies. So it'd be like one price for a year or one price a month.
I guess. I mean, I guess I never, I don't know. Prime has always been sort of a non-entity to me. So it's never been something I've been like, ooh, I really need.
Yeah. Their streaming catalog is terrible because, it just for the Amazon on demand stuff, because, right. You know, every time I look on there, to see if the movie we have is available for streaming, it's still the pay-for-play rental.
Mm.
It's not part of their Prime streaming thing. But right. Netflix would beef that up.
True.
Hopefully. Netflix needs to worry about beefing itself up.
Netflix needs to stop being stupid. and...
I guess, for lack of a better term, don't be the fat doctor who's telling everybody else to be skinny. if you're gonna be Netflix, don't be like, come to our streaming service when we have shit to stream right now.
Right.
You need to put more on the streaming. So, hear us, Netflix. Put more on streaming.
Well, all right. We'll see.
Moving on. Wanted 2.
Did y'all see Wanted?
I have not seen Wanted. It's in my Quickster DVD queue, although still Netflix right now. And that's a good question. Will that queue transfer?
Nope.
So I'm going to lose all of those movies.
Yup.
Nice.
They're completely two separate services once it gets there.
Yeah, so basically anything that's DVD only is going to go bye-bye in your queue. But, yeah, I was just curious if I don't know, Steve, did you see Wanted?
I'm trying to remember what it was. What was it?
It's James McAvoy and Angelina Jolie in a sort of Matrix-esque.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought it was when you first said it. That's the one where she curves the bullet.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, supposedly the guys that were responsible for writing the original have been hired by Universal to write a sequel.
I didn't find it horrible, but I don't feel it worth a sequel.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. I think this is another one of those G.I. Joe movies where like it made enough money for them to be like, let's do this again. Obviously, the rumors right now swirling are whether McAvoy will be back, and it sounds like he's at least character will be back. Whether or not it's going to be him remains to be seen. Angelina Jolie has been confirmed. Obviously, she spoiler alert, she died in the other one. And no magical loom, which I'm kind of like, aw. That was like the most bizarre little thing in the first one was the magical loom that told them who they were going to be killing. But that's not going to be in the sequel, so I'm a little disappointed about that.
We may have to see if this is on streaming or something.
Wanted? Yeah, Wanted is definitely it was one of those movies that looked like it looked like it was just going to be like sort of this really bad Matrix clone, but it ended up being rather at least somewhat entertaining. It wasn't a movie that I disliked at all.
Maybe Amazon Instant Video has it.
There you go.
So $2.99 and I can watch it. Anyways. Well, that'll be interesting. So, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yes?
Our drafted W2 will be Foxless? Edlinless? Who's Fox?
Fox was Angelina Jolie's character.
Oh, okay. That's where I got confused.
Anyways. Yeah, I didn't know if anybody had seen it, so that's why I changed it to Jolie.
Ah, got you. I got confused because it was different between them. Anyways, moving on into the past.
You're telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Ta-da!
Wow.
Thank you. In the past.
Speakers, folks.
In the past, we took a look at Jarhead, 61% fresh. 68% audience, directed by Sam Mendes, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Jamie Foxx, and Lucas Black. And we've got a soldier movie. Besides Soldier's Girl, I don't think we've really had another one. Have we had another
one? No, like there's a couple I want to throw in there, but we just haven't hit them yet. Mm-hmm. I guess we've only had a couple.
Heavy Metal Jacket, Marine Story.
Yeah. Heavy Metal Jacket.
Ooh, Apocalypse Now. Yeah.
But this was one that surprisingly was on our list well before the demise of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So perhaps we foretold the future.
Well, I would have said more if it was Marine Story. Just saying.
I get you. But perhaps. I mean, come on now, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Good point.
Okay, thank you. So, there you go, people. So, in celebration of Don't Ask, Don't Tell coming to an end, we now pretend we're all Jake Gyllenhaal being gay in the Marines. There you go. So about Jarhead. What'd you guys think? Had you seen it before? What were your thoughts?
No, never seen it before. My thoughts on this. I found the movie enjoyable. Definitely, I guess, wasn't really what I was expecting it. I mean, it seemed to go a little more abstract than I thought it was going to be, especially when they did, like, the dream sequences and... some of the cinematography was very sort of heavy the lighting, especially when they were, in the oil fields and stuff. Everything just sort of, I don't know, it's probably pretty realistic, but everything had this sort of surreal sort of quality to it.
Did you feel after we watched Donnie Darko a couple weeks ago, I'd never thought about it, but here I am watching Jake Gyllenhaal, who was Donnie Darko. Mm. And then I kept thinking, where's the rabbit?
Yeah.
Because this is kind of like Donnie Darko joins the Marines in some ways.
They could have totally taken the oil-covered horse out of there and stuck in Frank.
No, wait a minute. The oil-covered horse should have been Frank.
That's what I just said.
No, I mean like
should have been
during the whole time. It's an oil-covered horse, but using that, you know, that's the character. Like the horse should have started talking.
I wouldn't have thought that much, but I definitely would have thought. You know, I did think though. I was like, that's really an odd connection. It does feel a very Donnie Darko. You know, in the Marines, kind of a feel of this, but I agree with you, Fuzz, that it's got some really cool images, but it also has some really, I guess, disturbing ones. Like that whole part where, like, during training, where you know, it felt very Starship Troopers to me, where that one guy got shot.
Right.
And he flipped out and stood up. Right. You know, it's like that was very.
Yeah, but his head didn't explode.
Yeah, that's true. Starship Troopers, he did explode.
And he didn't have a helmet.
No, true. Well, anyway. Thanks for shooting down my comparison. But I was thinking, I was like, that was a very interesting moment. You know, and a telling moment. And I guess it's one of those ones where they're trying to say, like, all of a sudden everybody else grew up.
You know? Right. Well, again, and I've used this analogy before with movies. I think my main issue with this film was it was another one of the movies where it seems like there's a lot of things that take place in the movie, but not a whole lot happens in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, I don't if it's just if he was intentionally sort of stressing, like. He went from boot camp, which was this highly stressful situation, and they get themselves all riled up and you know, ready to go, and then they get deployed, and then it's like we're sitting out in the desert and not a whole heck of a lot's going on, and you know what I mean.
But I have a feeling that that's a little more realistic than a lot of people imagine.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but. I was kind of torn myself up a little bit trying to figure out a way to explain my feelings on this film because I don't want to come off like a complete dick. And you know, I think I understand what he's trying to say. I mean, what do you guys think the message of this film was?
Well, and my thought pattern is truly that it's just kind of updating Platoon.
Okay.
Platoon was a movie that I really enjoyed too. I mean, I like this genre.
Right.
I typically like this genre. Deer Hunter was a little weird for me comparatively, but generally I like this movie, the Hamburger Hills, the Platoon, you know, that I like that genre. But when it comes to this movie, there really wasn't a, this is what I went through going to boot camp and going straight to Iraq movie. Cause there really wasn't one that came out of, the early 90s so they wanted to make sure that something was kind of preserved from that, I think, you know, so that people could see that. And the struggles that they go through, you know, the get there and be bored and finding out, thinking you're going to be there for 10 minutes and end up being there for 10 years, you know, kind of situations. So, you know, I guess it's more of along the lines of trying to update those movies to bring them to today's audience. That's going through all the Iraqi wars and everything. So, Afghanistan.
I think there was one telling line in this movie that sort of summed up how I sort of felt about it, and that was there's a line where I think it's a helicopter or something comes flying overhead, and they're playing The Doors, and the guy's like, "God damn it, that movie, that music's from like Vietnam. Don't we get our own music?"
That's true.
Okay, and that line right there sort of summed up my whole feeling about this movie, I know this came from a book which was written by the you know, it's sort of autobiographical. For whatever reason, and like I said, I hate to come off like a dick, but this whole movie sort of seemed like this was like a Me Too thing. Like, this is, you know, I need to make sure that people know what I went through in this, like, you know, like a lot of people don't consider this whole conflict to be like a big war. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and this was my attempt to say, hey, you know, war is war, and this is what we went through, you know, just like everybody else that went through the Korean War and Vietnam and World War II, you know, like, don't forget about us, like, but not necessarily in like the, you know, we're doing it so that nobody forgets. It just, for some reason, it came off of a more like, you know, hey, pay attention to me sort of thing.
Well, I mean, which kind of happens, because I think the, you know, Desert Shield and Desert Storm, you know, to today's people forget that.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They really do. You know, I mean, like, and I think that a lot of people, if you first saw this movie and you didn't realize it, you're going to think that it's, you know, Iraqi freedom, or you think it's going to, you know, it's the current excursion, but it's not. It's talking about the Gulf War.
Right.
You know, so, and the first people who went over during the first insurgents and stuff. So I think it's one of those things where people, you know, they are making a, I think he is making a point, like you're saying, but also to put out there that, you know, we did have to go over there and spend a lot of time there. And some of us haven't really gone back since the next situation started.
Right.
You know, I think that they are trying to say, you know, they are trying to make a movie about that, that experience. You know, did it come off like it would be inspiring to a bunch of other people to make movies about it? I don't know. But I guess it's kind of like, well, like, at least they got a movie about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of comes off like that. You know, at least we had a movie made about us. You know, right. And that's, you know, and that's kind of a sad statement. But I'm not saying that it's okay. But I didn't mind the film itself.
I thought the film had some great moments in it. You know, some pretty high tension moments. You know, the scene when they meet the guys in the desert. You know, like, I mean, that's all super high tension, and, you know, watching, you know, when they discover that whole sort of convoy of vehicles and people that have been completely incinerated, you know, that's pretty intense. I think what was sort of weird, and I now that I'm thinking about it, I guess all these movies sort of have this in common, is that there were a lot of moments in this that were sort of like, you know, comedic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it walks a fine line between being, like comedic in some spots and then completely serious in others. And if you can't sort of keep up with that, it can kind of throw you for a loop. So you go from some scenes, especially like, you know, there's scenes that are both horrific and funny all at the same time, like the cleaning out of the latrine part, you know, like that was both disgusting and sort of funny and kind of crazy all at the same time. So it was just a very, very strange sort of mixture.
Yeah. I mean, and you also, you know, one of the things that strikes me is actually toward the beginning, you know, where his drill sergeant is all on him, you know, like crazy, you know, and talking about, what, you don't think I look good in my uniform, son? You know, like, you know, like certain things like that. And you're like, the military doesn't do that anymore, you know. Like, that rings of the movies of Platoon, of, you know, the earlier movies that are talking about Vietnam. We're like, no, that does kind of happen today.
Still. Yeah, I have a really weird sort of perspective on that whole drill sergeant, because I dated a drill sergeant briefly, very briefly, but had a lot of conversations with him about, and he was a drill sergeant during Vietnam. Yes. So I had a lot of conversations with him sort of about that whole process and like the amount of training he went through to be that way.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, they are trained to be that way. That's not just them being jerks.
Oh, right. No. Yeah, totally. Totally.
You know, there's a lot of thought into that whole thing going on.
There's a process. There's a reason that they're doing that. And that makes sense. Yeah. You know, but it was just that whole experience. And then, you know, I thought one of the more telling scenes, too, was when he was on the bus early on. He's just like, you know, a pen is now an ink stick. Mm-hmm. My mouth is now a cum receptacle. Mm-hmm. He's just like, I started learning the new.
Wait a minute. I don't remember the cum receptacle.
Oh, yeah. He totally was. You know, he's just like, now I've done this. You know, but there's also the typical, you know, if you watch the whole thing too, if you think back to other similar type movies and genres, you think there's always the one crazy guy. Right. There's always the one guy with the big old Southern accent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always the person who's, you know, black or Latino or variant,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then you've got the quiet brooding guy who usually gets shot at some point.
Or and dies then, or something.
Yeah, or dies, right. And then you've got the I'm better than all of you person, and then you've got the smart kid. You know, you kind of got all the genres. It's like its own boy band.
Right.
You know, within that mix. And, you know, and you had every one of those in this as well. You know, right. So it's not that it was particularly a new groundbreaking style of this kind of movie, but I think it does bring some of the more recent issues that we've been dealing with to light.
Right. True.
So, sounds like we're at what we've learned. What we've learned from Jarhead is your hands remember the rifle. Don't get lost on the way to college. You end up in the Marines. It's not an order, it's an opportunity. If the Marine Corps wanted you to have a wife, they would issue you one. And when you're a Marine, there's no such thing as speech that is free, as well as every war is different. Every war is the same. And that is what we've learned from Jarhead. Jake Gyllenhaal just doesn't seem to keep my attention very often. Maybe it's his acting style. Okay, movie, but just meh.
Yeah, and for me, this that was like, you know, like I was saying, I sort of think I get the message. You know, it doesn't matter sort of what war it was or what things happened, that it's sort of the same message. It's horrible. It messes with you. It stays with you. And I feel that the message is conveyed very well with this movie. But ultimately, like I said, it feels very much like a sort of Me Too sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I totally empathize and honor all the people who serve, men and women that have sacrificed, you know, parts of themselves, their lives and stuff in times of war. But I just don't know that I need to see a movie about every conflict that happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I do. I'm just going to say I like it, but I'm also a fan of this kind of genre.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned before, I kind of feel like it's a little different because it does feel a little bit like Donnie Darko at Join the Marines. but I think it's worth watching. And if nothing else, for I think the performance of Jamie Foxx. Because I thought he was extremely solid and he was a refreshing surprise. I don't typically like him,
mm-hmm.
no matter what he's in. I honestly don't. But. I thought he was good.
Funny.
Yeah, but I thought he was good in this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah.
I give him kudos.
All right. And that is what our recommendations for Jarhead. So let's move into the present.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
In the present, we're taking a look at Straw Dogs, the remake. 36% rotten on Rotten Tomatoes, 42% audience, directed by Rod Lurie, starring James Marsden, Kate Bosworth, Alexander Skarsgård, and this one hot guy.
I knew you were going to say that.
As soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, we found Jeff's favorite part of the movie.
I thought his name was Vic.
No, it's Vic.
But then I saw the credits roll, and I'm looking for, okay, who was Vic? Who is it? Vic. Oh, Vic. I think his name was David Powell or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But needless to say, it's like getting that pudgy redneck Larry the Cable Guy sort of hotness
It just said Texas all over him, didn't he?
Well, not necessarily Texas. It's really that. No, this is like the, you know, the South Hickville type guy.
Yeah.
Versus Texas. The Texas is something different.
Okay. Well, Jeff's heaving loins aside, let's, you know, one thing I want to say is it just me or does it seem like Alexander Skarsgård is just popping up everywhere? Like,
yeah,
I keep seeing him in trailers and just, he seems like
he's the next movie we're talking about.
Yeah, no. And I was going through today and trying to look up more trailers and stuff. I just realized how many more movies he's got coming out in the next 6 months. I was like, holy crap. But that's just an aside there. Really, what I'd like to get to in this, and I think Steven is the only one who can really talk to this, is let's talk about the fact that this is a remake of a supposedly very controversial movie from 1971. Steve, you saw the original, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I did. I have since we talked about it, because we talked about it a while ago when we talked about when we looked at the
trailer for
the trailer for this, and I was very excited about it. So since then I have seen the original. And I will say that I'm actually glad that I did.
Okay.
Because I think otherwise, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm assuming, I probably would have fallen asleep and been extremely bored by this movie if I had not seen the original and kept looking for comparisons.
Okay. Well, I never saw the original, so
I thought I thought the pacing was really slow in this movie, but so was the original. So, you know, but I think I don't want to go too deep into everything, but I will say that I think the seminal story around what was going on in the original made more sense. Then, because it was a family, I mean, one spoiler, I guess I should say for it was, you know, where we had the football team and people who used to be on the football team in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
In the original, it was a family.
Okay.
An actual family. Like the coach in this movie was the dad in those movies.
Right.
You know, it's like the daughter that was getting talked to by the guy who was just not right, was the daughter of the family, the only girl of the family. There, you know, the rest of them were boys, you know. So it was like it was weird, you know, thinking that they're all together on this because they're a football team. Weird, you know, that was an odd combination. But you know, but it all, but as far as the visuals and all the other things in the house, even looked like the house from the original.
I did notice that the house was very English.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's got to be on purpose. I knew the original was set in England.
Yeah.
I mean, and I haven't seen the original, but I read a whole bunch of like very thorough plot synopsises of the original. And it did seem pretty faithful to the original.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did a pretty good job of sort of translating it, moving it from, you know, rural England to rural United States and putting it in modern day. Like any little things that wouldn't have really made sense, they did a good job of sort of tidying that up and cleaning it up. I guess what I had a hard time with, and maybe it would have been better in the original, I had a hard time with the whole sort of like the reason for them to not like, I mean, I knew the whole like, oh, he's from Hollywood and they're going to give him a rough time. And, but it was just kind of like, I couldn't buy the whole fact of like the violence and stuff sort of revving up to where it was eventually supposed to go. Like I was like, I'm like, okay, nothing really all that bad has happened yet. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it all seemed to happen at once. Like,
yeah. It was one thing led to another, and then it's – I mean, I think that one of the more telling lines in this movie was when he was just like, they don't want to leave any witnesses. They've killed a cop. You know, they're not going to want us to be able to say that they did that. You know, and then that – then I guess if they hadn't had that line in there to kind of explain to me and the rest of the world, like this is why the violence is all of a sudden ramped up,
right. I probably wouldn't have got it either.
Right, because you're kind of, you're just like, why would these people all of a sudden decide to just kill these two? Like, wow, they get really angry here if they're going to just all of a sudden go from, we kind of don't like you to, we're going to kill you. We're going to try to break in your house and kill you. You know, so.
Yeah. I mean, the weirder part was I didn't feel the tension. I mean, you get in this movie, this version, you definitely get that Alexander Sarsgaard is a nut job.
Okay.
You know, that he's obsessed over Amy.
Right. Amy
you know,
Cakes.
Yeah. You get that he's obsessed over her, has never gotten over her. Okay. In the original, I will say that it was very clear that this was Dustin Hoffman was the, I don't know, the consummate like mathematician. He was a mathematician, not a writer in that one. But and then Amy was just this sex pot. Okay. And they had the same kind of car, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
The same little car.
The Jaguar, the E-type.
Yeah, they had yeah, it was cute. But she was like a sex pot kind of her performance in it was like, you know, like where Amy's like running and she's in a top that, you know, like sweating and stuff like that, you know, in the original, she would have been like doing that on purpose.
Right. She would have been a fembot from Austin Powers basically.
Yeah. 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 You know, so she was kind of showing off her goods in that first one, intentionally to get people riled up. And you could tell by her tone of speech. And I think you'll know what I mean if you see it.
The other thing,
I was saying, just in this movie, I didn't feel that she was doing that intentionally.
Right. Know? There was only one moment where
she
sort of did.
What about the strip scene?
Right. There's only one moment where she did something intentional.
Well, that was to prove a point.
Right.
I just think she was trying to be like, bitch, I know you're looking at me.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you something to look at. Busted. You know, like that's what she was trying to do.
One of the things, though, that I, when reading all the stuff about the original and seeing this one, something that sort of came out of it that at least I got the impression of that I thought was different from this was that it seemed like in the original they were pushing like Dustin Hoffman's character was much more of a jerk.
Yes, he was
to his wife.
He's a douchebag. Yeah.
Okay. Where Marsden was much more of sort of like they were making him out to be like the really nice guy. Like there was only the one scene that translated was the whole, well, maybe you should put a bra on.
Yeah.
Scene.
Yeah. Dustin Hoffman's character was much more of a douchebag than Marsden's was. And he was much more like, you know, where you hear Amy in this movie say things like, you know, like you should really be nice to people. You know, you should really be, you know, I think she was just trying to be like, you're not Southern.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you got to remember that this is a Southern town. Whereas he was being an ugly American in the original.
Right.
You know, so I can see some of those comparisons for sure. But I didn't see Marsden's character was much nicer than Hoffman's was.
Okay, so since we're keeping this theme of comparisons going here, the first movie was considered controversially violent. Like, people had not seen such violence on screen before. And 1971, there was a couple other, I think Clockwork Orange came out that year.
Yeah.
So there was like this huge sort of backlash. I think this was rated X.
That's surprising. Well, it was definitely, you know, for the rapes. The rape scenes. I mean, and he definitely, I mean, they were intense in this version, but they were like super intense in the first version.
Okay.
You know, and then I was sitting here thinking, I'm just like, cause I'll be honest with you. And I was watching this one, I was like, I wonder if they're going to do the butt sex version because they do it in the original. And then all of a sudden, you know, the other dude comes around the corner, you know, and right. I was like, okay. I mean, it's definitely not as graphic as the original version.
Right, it's more implied
in
this one.
Yeah.
So one of my thoughts on that, though, is that the first movie, since it had, you know, for the time it came out, I mean, that scene and all the scenes at the end of the film were probably like a punch in the face to a lot of people. Like, you're going to see this really, really graphic stuff going on. You know, is it that we're jaded? Like, I didn't find any of the violence in this movie particularly shocking, other than, of course, you know, anytime something happens to an animal, it pisses me off.
Yeah.
But do you think that sort of thing is working against this movie? Like, a lot of the original draw to the original one would have been like, ooh, it was rated X and it was banned in England. And, you know, so a lot of people are like, ooh, we got to go see this film. Or this is just kind of like, oh, it's just another movie with some crazy rednecks that are going to, you know.
Yeah. This is a remake of a Dustin Hoffman classic with Alexander Sarsgaard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're going to see it for. Mm-hmm. You know, I think. I mean, that's what, you know, kind of drew me. I was drawn in by the trailer. Y'all know that. I said, ooh, this sounds like my kind of movie, because it felt very like The Others and, you know, that kind of, you know, survive Liv Taylor. You know, Liv Tyler movie. You know? Liv Taylor. But I thought it was going to be more about that tension,
right?
You know, that kind of thing where they keep looking out the door, you know, looking out the window and seeing somebody there, which, because that movie freaks me out. Love it.
The other thing that didn't sound like there was really a comparable scene in the original, but one of the things that I didn't really understand was his attempt when he overlaid the whole rape scene over Marsden shooting the deer. Like,
I do remember that being pretty there too. Yeah.
I don't understand what he was trying to say by overlapping. Was it just the fact that he was trying to say, like, Marsden's character is far away? To me, it almost felt like he was trying to show some sort of transformation.
The end of innocence or something.
Right.
I think that was part of it. I think it was a transformation for Marsden in this movie. I don't remember it being that specific in the original, but I'd have to go back and watch it again.
Right,
I didn't pay that much attention.
Didn't they take him snipe hunting or something in the original? Like, he was supposed to be catching a bird or something. It's something that was like made up to get him out of the house.
Yeah.
But that and the whole, I mean, I guess because it's a violent thing, like at the football game, you know, she starts having flashbacks watching the football game. And that didn't totally translate for me either. I'm like, is it just because it's a violent impact that's causing her? Like, I don't get why she's freaking out from watching the football game. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it was a stretch.
Yeah, kind of weird.
I mean, other than the fact that they were sitting like three people over from her.
Yeah, well, that you know, I'd be more about if she was staring at them and like flashing back to, you know, but it was more like she was trying to ignore them. And, you know, anytime there was somebody got tackled on the field, she had a flashback of, you know, the rape that happened to her, and I'm just like, oh, this is weird.
That's an odd association connection. Yeah. But I do think that once you got into the big fights and everything, you know, the big actiony stuff, it was cool.
Well, yeah, once the ball started rolling, it started rolling. I mean, it was,
yeah,
you know
that, like, just thinking of some of that stuff, like, I knew the bear trap was coming.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw the original.
Uh-huh.
And that was a surprise when I saw it in the original. And I could clearly tell that I was probably the only one in the theater. I had about maybe 10 people, if that, maybe 8 in the theater. But when the bear trap came, the entire audience went, "Ooh!" Like, it was like, I didn't see that coming. Like, I heard one guy yell that out.
Well, I think part of it too is it's the angle that shot is from. You know, like, you see it coming. Like, you see the whole arc of him swinging it up and over his head, and so you have a few seconds to sort of go, "Ooh, snap!" You know, I kept waiting for him to get shot. I knew that the bear trap was going to get used in some way just because they kept pointing it out. Like they kept, you know, oh, they're talking about it being on the wall and mounting, and oh, you know, he has to pull his arm. You know what I mean? There was too much hinting at it, too much foreshadowing for it not to get used. It was just a matter of when it was going to come. So when it finally did, it was like, oh, there's the bear trap, you know. But
yeah, you kept thinking it was going to be on the ground or something, mm-hmm. or somebody was going to be running,
the coach
and they're
going to walk into it. Actually,
yeah, yeah.
So, and wow, James Woods, what a dick. What a dick, man. The coach was a dick. I was rooting when he started getting his coming to him. Yes.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he, especially to the sheriff of all people.
Mm-hmm.
Rude.
And well, you know, for the longest time, the other thing that I thought was strange was I couldn't understand where they were going with the oh God, I'm going to be not politically correct here and say what, the retarded guy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know where they were going with that. Like the whole, I mean, other than to show that, you know, the coach was a jerk. I'm like, why do they keep going to this dude? I mean, finally, when it all sorts of plays out, it makes sense.
Yeah. I can't remember. I'll have to go back to it. I have to look back at the original. I don't remember him killing her.
But. Yeah. They didn't mention anything about him killing anybody.
Yeah.
But they do come to their house to try to get him.
Yeah.
So that part of it is the same.
I'm trying to remember. Again, when I watched the original, I was just watching for reference. I didn't really go through it with a fine tooth comb. I'm sure if I watched it again and did a full on side by side kind of comparison, I might have some different feelings. Mm-hmm. But it's been a while since I watched it too.
Right.
But there were definitely some things that I was watching right along. I was like, yep, that's right out of the original. You know, like the first thing I caught was the car. Mm-hmm. The second thing I caught was just kind of her being, you know, someone who was from there and understood the culture, you know, and I remember, you know, there was a lot in the house looking almost exactly alike. And then as soon as I saw the white cat jump onto the table, I was like, oh, poor cat.
Oh, poor kitty.
You know, I was like certain things like that, and I knew were coming. Mm-hmm. You know, but, and then the bear trap, of course, but when it came to how it was all going to go down, I wasn't quite sure. And then the whole, like I said, the only thing that really stood out to me is like was the difference between a family and a football team.
Right.
And I get that sports teams are families, hence I'm on a sports teams, but I didn't get that connection with football team in Mississippi.
Yeah, they seem to be pushing sort of like coach was sort of like all these people's sort of like
God.
Surrogate father. Yeah. Yeah, you know, like whatever coach says goes. We do whatever coach says, you know.
Yep.
So.
And was it that? Is there anything else, gentlemen, or should we go into what we've learned?
Let's learn.
All right. Well, we've learned Bic needs to wear less clothing. Cash. What poor people use for money. Nothing goes together like God and football. God works in mysterious ways. It's the most dangerous phrase ever uttered. And that is what we've learned from Straw Dogs. Personally, and one of the reasons why I wasn't paying much attention was because this movie kind of put me to sleep. Well, I can see it technically being put together well. The script and the pace were just not doing it for me. As I said, Bic should have been wearing much less clothing. Skip it.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a rush to the theater thing to see. Obviously, it doesn't seem like it's a rush to the theater. There was nobody in mind to see it other than me. From a remake standpoint, it seems well adapted from the source material from what I've read. But I just felt like it was searching for its quote unquote controversy from the original. So, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that, you know, not that I thought the original was a great movie, but I honestly think that the original made more sense than this version. The acting wasn't bad, but I'll say that Alexander Sarsgaard did not seem to fit in the movie.
No,
I don't know about
all.
You guys at all.
I have a problem though. Every time I see him, I just see Eric.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. Well, I just it just didn't his he was too perfect to be this guy that he was. And if you saw him next to all the other guys, they were all gritty, rednecky guys, and here's this blonde-haired, blue-eyed Viking. Yeah,
he didn't you know, seem very rednecky at all.
Yeah, it just didn't work. It's worth skipping unless you're going to do a compare and contrast the original. I thought that was interesting. You know, like I said, I enjoyed watching it thinking, ooh, is this going to come? Is this going to come? Is this going to come? And then, you know, some contrived scenes did make me jump. I'm going to honestly say that there were like two scenes where I went, pooh! And I was like, whoa, what happened? And I was like, damn, I'm so mad that I jumped at that. You know, but all in all, you know, I think it's not the best movie in the world. So, great. Something else was in it. I forget what it was.
And with that, we're going into the future.
Hi. Welcome to the future. And I'm telling you, it's great here.
J3.
Miss.
Hits.
You sank my battleship. Battleship is the name of the movie they're talking about here. Directed by Peter Berg, starring Alexander Skarsgård, Liam Neeson, and Taylor Kitsch. Fleet of ships is forced to do battle with an armada of unknown origins in order to discover and thwart their destructive goals.
Wow.
First of all, when you guys started watching this trailer, like, all right, did you have any idea that there were going to be aliens involved with it? Like,
no, not at all. I never knew that aliens were involved with Battleship.
Well, I mean, the game obviously has nothing to do with aliens, which brings me to my first point. Why are they trying to tie this in with this game? I don't understand. Like, yeah, it's got battleships in it. And I did think it was funny that the things that the alien shot looked like the little pegs from the game.
But they didn't even look like they were destructive. It was just like, we're going to destroy these things and they're going to just punch holes into your ship.
Well, maybe what they'll do is like depending on the size of the ship, you know, if they shoot two of them, the smaller ships will blow up, and then they have to shoot four of them in certain sections of the ship.
Right. I don't know. but my second thought, okay, so like the trailer starts and I'm like, okay, this is a very sort of overused, you know, guy and girl with the overprotective father, you know, everybody's seen that story before, you know, okay, he's in the Navy, blah, 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 blah. Oh, the father is his commanding officer, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh my God, is this Transformers 4? Cause like, I thought that the way that the alien ships or whatever the hell they are supposed to be, when they come out of the water, they look like Mr. Bay's Transformers kind of. And I was just like, oh, they're already putting the sequel out? Like, and I was like, okay, Transformers Over the Water. But was it just me, or did anybody else get that vibe at first?
I got the vibe at first.
Yeah, I didn't have any clue what was going on. Once that happened, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm confused by this trailer. I am very confused. Part of me is intrigued. Liam Neeson does lend a shred of credibility to a movie.
Is it enough?
That I don't know. So Liam Neeson, yes, he's definitely throwing a wrench in my wanting to just say, oh my God, this looks awful sort of thing. And it doesn't, visually, it doesn't look awful. It looks like it could be visually entertaining.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's going to be just like maybe that's why they're tying it into Battleship, the game. There's no plot in the game Battleship. Maybe there's no plot in this movie. So there's your tie-in. I don't know.
And you notice how the aliens created that like force field over the battlefield?
Right. So they're like trapped in there. Yes, I did get that.
J3. Yeah.
So there's going to be some kind of game involved in getting out of the situation.
I've watched enough Star Trek in my life to recognize the whole, oh, you're going to be trapped by these alien peoples and you're going to have to figure your way out. But I don't know. I just don't know. There's a little voice in the back of my brain that's screaming Skyline all over again.
I could definitely see the whole Skyline thing. And I really think this movie looks like it's going to be absolutely horrendous. It's going to be just a terrible, terrible movie. But for some reason, I feel like it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, it's just a train wreck you just have to watch. And to me, is going to be like along the Wing Commander route.
Oh, God. You just made me lose all faith in humanity.
Because I really like Wing Commander.
Oh.
But not because it's a good movie. There was just some things about it that I just really liked, and there is a reason why I own that movie. But I can understand someone being like, that's a terrible, terrible movie. Yes, it's a terrible, terrible movie. I can't wait to see it.
Wow.
You know what? If someone, and especially if Liam Neeson says, you sank my battleship in this movie, I will hurt somebody. But I guess that means that I'm gonna have to go see it to make sure that nobody says it.
So. Oh, no, I can totally see this. They shoot those peg things, and all of a sudden they explode, and then you see the ship going down, and Liam Neeson says angrily into a comm system where he's been communicating with the alien, saying, "You sank my battleship."
And that's when I kill the
fire. You know. I'm telling you, this is going to be a terrible, terrible movie, and it's just going to be full of terrible, terrible awesomeness.
Like we talked about earlier, it's not at all what I thought it was going to be from the visions I got from thinking about the game. Mm-hmm. You know, but I will honestly say it caught my attention. And do I expect greatness? Not at all. and the only other thing that was interesting was their use of kind of the bullet time-ish stuff that sounded like Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all notice, like,
it's when the Transformer stuff came.
Yeah, it definitely sounded like Transformers and stuff. And so I'm interested. I'm like, what the hell? What, you know, is this a combination of, you know, Battle Los Angeles and Transformers? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That's probably exactly correct.
Yeah, so we'll see.
But I think with the you sank my battleship line, that's going to just make it more awesome.
Ugh.
My end of things. Because it just makes it even worse. Because I know for certain this is going to be a bad movie. But it's going to be one of those most fun movies I'm just going to enjoy watching. This will probably be on our list. I'll make sure it gets there.
It's a long way away.
Anyways. So we don't really have much to say about Battleship.
No.
Yeah. So that's that. Coming to attractions, next week we're going to be taking a look. Oh, hey, what do you know? Next week's October. You know what October is?
October is Scary Movie Month.
And we're starting off with Jason X.
It is a scary movie month because there's not a lot of good movies to see.
Uh-huh.
In the present, we're going to be taking a look at Moneyball only because it was getting good ratings. And in the future, J. Edgar. Yet another Leonardo DiCaprio movie. So there's plenty of ways to contact us. Check us out at COLmovies.com. Leave us a comment right there. We really appreciate those. Please shoot us an email at COLmovies@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 361-265-8255. That's 361-COL-TALK. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/COLmovies. Facebook at facebook.com/COLmovies. Also, please pop on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Okay, you can do less, but preferably a 5-star review. And with that, final thoughts.
Podcast awards nominations close tomorrow at 11:59 p.m. So nominate us, please.
Please. Cast your votes.
Please. It's just nominations, not voting yet.
So once we get nominated, then we can vie for votes.
Exactly.
But first, we need the nomination.
But it closes tomorrow at 11:59, Friday the 30th, 11:59 p.m.
All right. Anything else? That's it. Nope. All right. Then for me, for Fuzz, for Steven. Take care, everyone.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That'll do, kid.
That's the worst of my ever heard. And you stole it from a movie.
He's looking at you, kid.
Line.